Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. It's Friday. It's April 8th. And we're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers today. Your world champion. Green Bay Packers has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Thanks, Jamie, for complimenting on me on my hat on the live blog. My Masters hat here today. Everybody enjoyed the Masters yesterday. Love this time of year. Absolutely love it. The baseball season is just getting underway. The Masters is on. This is the greatest golf tournament of the year. Well, this and the U.S. Open. I love those two. The Masters in HD. Is there anything more beautiful than that? Absolutely gorgeous. Just love watching it. So, excited to watch that this afternoon. But we got a lot of football to get to today. If you want to comment, please feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV. And your comments will get through to our blog. Or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. Or just plain old comment. Your comments are being approved by our moderators, Alex Talich and Jamie Jors of the Packers Lounge. Thank you very much. And we got a lot of draft talk to get to today. First of all, I got to publicize our guest we have coming up at the bottom of the hour, 8:30, wide receiver Garrett Andrews of Middle Tennessee State University. In addition to being a draft prospect, probably not even a guy who's going to be drafted, I think Garrett would probably say that he's going to be the undrafted free agent type. But perhaps more importantly, what he's getting a lot of publicity about right now, he has filed a lawsuit, one of these antitrust class action lawsuits against the NFL, attempting to end the lockout. And we're going to get all the information from Garrett himself. Should be interesting. You know, he joins big names like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, those name plaintiffs, in suing the NFL. So very excited to talk to Garrett. Will be an interesting conversation, to say the least, given the lockout that's going on right now and the legal battle taking place right to our west here in Minnesota. But without further ado, let's get down to it. I've left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the live blog. If you scroll upward, by the way, I love the poll that's going on. What is on my pillowcase? Alex has a little inside information there that you don't want to know what it is. It wasn't my pillowcase. It was my wife's, by the way. Alex can, and Jamie can tell you what was on it. Let's get to today's Packers Daily Links. There's a link at the top of the live blog. Scroll up, click it, and some of the top news today is all about the drafts and the draft prospects and players the Packers have worked out. And the top story today is that the Packers worked out Miami running back Damian Barry. If you click this link, it'll take you to the Miami Sun Sentinel, an article by their writer Omar Kelly, and he talks about the Packers working out Barry. He writes, quote, "Barry, a physical tailback who is projected as a mid to late round draft, late round selection in the NFL draft that begins April 28th, will be amongst a few dozen South Florida talents and former standouts from nearby colleges like UM, Florida International, Florida Atlantic, participating in the Dolphins workout for local draft prospects." So he's working out for several teams, the Dolphins included, and the Packers, and even the Lions, NFC North foe of the Packers. So Damian Barry, a name to put in the back of your mind, keep tabs on. And, you know, I guess I want to take this time here to talk about the Cheesehead TV 2011 NFL Draft Guide. You might be getting sick of me talking about it, publicizing it. But yesterday was the release date for our draft guide here at Cheesehead TV, and we're obviously super excited and super pleased with what we've done. We think we've done something that perhaps no other blog has done before, no other publication has done before, print or online, and that's to create a team-specific draft guide. You know, everything you see is for the NFL in general, and we have created a team-specific draft guide specifically for Packer fans. The reaction has been fantastic. You know, I got a couple comments yesterday, and they just make me smile with the work that we've put into it. You know, just hours have gone into this publication. Obviously, I think when you look at it and you see the writing quality and the design quality, I think you'd agree that, you know, hundreds of hours were put into this publication. And kudos to our own Alex Talichir joining us today on the live blog, who designed every single freaking page and put a lot of hard work into it. And just so everybody out there knows, you know, we are charging money for this publication. We think it's a very reasonable $5 for what you're getting. You're getting hyper-local content, what I like to call hyper-local. Instead of taking the broad NFL view, you know, we've really pared it down to, you know, what you want to read about is the Packers. Packers, Packers, Packers. So we tried to make it as Packers-specific as possible. Hyper-local, hyper-Packers. And as I was saying, we're charging $5 from this. And to show you how grassroots we are, it's kind of a, what we're doing is a profit sharing. All the money we're making from this is being shared amongst the staff who took part in putting this together. The publisher, Corey Behnke, the editors, Alex and myself, and all the contributors, the writers, profit sharing from this. And believe me, I mean, we're still not even being compensated nearly the time what we put into it. But that's not the point. We would do this for free if we had to. Of course, we like making a little bit of money, but, you know, it's we just love working on publications like this, on content like this involving the Green Bay Packers. Thank you, everyone, who has gone out and bought it and has, you know, commented about it. Yesterday, some of the comments that, you know, brought a little joy to me were somebody told me it was porn for Packer fans. And then I got a couple other comments saying it was the best $5 they've ever spent. You know, it's comments like that that makes me feel good about what we do. And I think other people as well. So, again, you know, enough, you know, self-promotion, self-publication. But, you know, I wanted to take a chance to thank the readers out there for what we were able to do. And if you haven't gotten your copy already, just go to the Cheesehead TV homepage, which if you're watching this show right now, just scroll up to the top, click the shop tab, and you can order it. You'll get it by the end of the day, $5. So, and those of you, and I assume those of you who are listening to the show, you know, many of you at least have already gotten it. It looks great on an iPad, on a tablet, if you have one. At least that's what I'm told. I don't own a tablet. Wish I did. I'd like one. My brother has one. I know Corey Behnke has one, says it looks great. But even just on your own PC, your laptop, personal computer, just use the Adobe Full Page Reader. Looks pretty sweet in that, too. Just Just a suggestion. Just a suggestion. So, getting back to draft news, the things that are going on. Some other news today. If we go back to today's Packers Daily Links, second story down comes today from Packer Report and Bill Huber. If you click the link, it'll take you over to their site at scout.com, part of the scout.com network. And he talks about how the Packers have worked out Virginia tight end Joe Torchia. As you can see here, it's one of those behind a paywall, so you do have to be a subscriber to Packer Report to read this article. But yeah, the Packers working out tight end Joe Torchia, and just in his introduction, Mr. Huber writes here, quote, Virginia's Joe Torchia, one of the best prep tight ends in the nation when he was in high school, is healthy after missing most of his senior season with a torn labrum. So the Packers doing their due diligence here. Certainly not one of the top-rated guys. You know, you're not even going to find Joe Torchia's name in our draft guide. But, you know, as we all know, you know, the Packers, you know, do a very good job of mining the hidden gems. You know, the guys who are way off the top of the list you'll find in any draft guide. Not just cheese at TVs. I mean, you know, I think I looked up NFLDraftScout.com is a fantastic resource, and Joe Torchia, you know, he's ranked among the in the 30s, you know, the 30th ranked over 30th ranked tight end in this year's draft class. But so, I mean, just to show you the lengths that Ted Thompson is going through, you know, here's a guy, this Joe Torchia, who missed most of his senior season, probably, you know, isn't on the radar of a lot of teams out there. But yet the Packers checking him out, you know, trying to find out, you know, if this guy is healthy, could he be, you know, an underrated type of guy who could step in? One of the types that's going to be an undrafted free agent, kind of like the guy we're going to talk to at 8:30, Garrett Andrews from Middle Tennessee State University, wide receiver. He's representing guys like this, the undrafted types. You know, one of those guys who, you know, in a normal year, in a year where there isn't a lockout, you know, right that weekend after the draft, there's always the rookie orientation camp, you know, not only for, the guys who get the most publicity or the highest profile will be the Packers' draft choices. They come in, but also the guys they sign as free agents right after the draft. Like I said, in a normal year, not happening this year unless this lockout ends between now and 3 weeks from now in the draft. But there's also, they bring in about 20 to 30 tryouts right after the draft. So there's a lot of guys coming into Green Bay that week after the draft. You probably got about, you know, 10 draft choices. I think the Packers have 9 this year, and not to say they couldn't trade some of those away. You probably got about another dozen undrafted free agents, guys the Packers signed to a contract. So there's about 20 players right there. And then another 20 to 30 tryout guys. So in one weekend in Green Bay, in a normal year, there's about 40 rookies in Green Bay that weekend. You know, guys, you know, either signed to a contract or, you know, guys trying to sign a contract. And every year of those 20 to 30 tryouts, the Packers sign about 2 or 3 of them. So it's not like, you know, these guys are 100-to-1 shots they bring in. You know, there's a 10% chance, you know, they're going to sign. You know, about, like I said, 2 or 3 guys every year they sign on the tryout basis. Once they get an up close look at those guys in kind of a mini camp type of setting, get to work them out. So again, you know, just name to keep an eye out for Joe Torchia and Damian Berry, as before. And you know, I see the comments here on the live blog, yeah, Packers Lounge, as Why would we need a tight end? And John Brayhor says, tight end for the practice squad. And you know, of course, you look at the roster right now, and you see JerMichael Finley on it, and you see last year's rookie, Andrew Corliss, and Tom Crabtree, and so the Packers have, you know, three good guys, you know, three decent tight ends who look like they're good bets to make the team next year. And you wonder why the Packers be looking at tight ends. Well, it's because of reasons I just laid out, you know, like for one reason, that rookie orientation camp, you know, they try to get 40, 50 guys in there just to have a full squad, you know, 11 on 11 offense and defense, you know, and a first team and a second team, you know, they want to fill every position. And also, I mean, you know, there's a 53-man roster during the regular season, but in the offseason, you know, through mini camp, training camp, things like that, there's an 80-man roster. You know, they're not going to keep just three tight ends in the offseason portion of the year. You know, in this time period, the offseason, when they're going through mini camp and training camp and going rep after rep, I mean, you can't just have three guys taking every rep. There will be, you know, they're going to sign two more tight ends. And don't forget that the Packers cut ties with Donald Lee after the season, after the Super Bowl. Remember that. I think people kind of forget about that. That was kind of a, that one kind of got swept under the rug pretty quick. Yeah, the Packers cut ties with Donald Lee, longtime starter for several seasons. Starter in the Super Bowl. Did he start? I don't know. Like I said, the term start is kind of an overrated statistic, but you know, he had been a longtime starter, you know, several seasons for the Packers, going back to 2007, I think it was, I believe. Even was it 2006 even? So he was with the Packers for several years, and good for him. You know, he ended his Packers career with a Super Bowl ring, so. So the Packers will inevitably sign one or two tight ends, you know, just, you know, for nothing else, for competition purposes during training camp. And plus, you never know when there's going to be an injury. You know, God forbid, JerMichael Finley, Andrew Corliss, Tom Crabtree suffers a season-ending injury, you know, in this off-season time part of the year, anytime, you know, prior to the regular season, you know, then all of a sudden you're looking at, hey, all of a sudden there's this rookie, an undrafted free agent who's going to make the team just because there was injuries ahead of them. So that's why they're looking at these types of guys. Not that they're going to be major contributors. Of course, you never know. I mean, just look at Frank Zombo a year ago. who thought last year the Packers, you know, would keep Frank Zombo or Sam Shields? Undrafted guys you never even heard of before the Packers signed them. I'm going to open up the phone lines here if anybody wants to call in. Put the number up on the screen. I can't even find the number. Anyway, if you want to call in, might not be up on the screen, but the phone number is area code 646-797-2909, 646-797-2909. Feel free to call into the show if you want to talk about the Packers, their draft, these guys they're looking at. And, you know, right now I can see the conversation, the live blog, has turned to Nick Barnett. Packers Lounge comments, how about Barnett saying he's willing to make major concessions to stay in Green Bay? I found that interesting. Of course, Nick Barnett had an interview yesterday with Jason Wilde on the ESPN radio local affiliates in Wisconsin and Milwaukee and Madison, I believe. And, you know, Barnett basically expressing his concern that you know, there's during the lockout, first of all, he can't talk to anyone, or his agent can't talk to the Packers organization, you know, the general manager, Ted Thompson, or, you know, the guys who handle contract negotiation, things like that. But, you know, the background story is that just in the past couple months, the Packers have signed starting linebacker Desmond Bishop, who took Barnett's spot. They signed him to a contract extension during the season. And then after the season, they signed A.J. Hawk to a new contract. So here they just invested all this money into two guys and who Coach McCarthy has said in an interview that they're going to go with Hawk and Bishop as their default starters, at least to begin with. So, you know, Nick Barnett, who's been a starter ever since he's been drafted into the NFL in, what was that, 2003? You know, first-round draft choice, been a starter pretty much ever since. Had some injury issues, but he's kind of wondering, where do I stand on this team? You know, there's a lot of talk he might be traded. And, of course, you know, talk that he's going to back up Hawk and Bishop, even if he is on the team. So, I mean, there's, you know, you can understand if you're Nick Barnett, you just don't know what the future holds for you. And, you know, he'd like to at least see where he stands on the team from the front office. You know, if he's under contract with the Packers, there's nothing Nick Barnett can really do but honor his contract. He could hold out, I suppose, but, you know, that I don't know how much he would accomplish by holding out. And Nick Barnett, you know, you understand where he's coming from. He's concerned. And there could be very well a trade. And again, the NFL lockout is playing a lot into, you know, will he or won't he be traded? You know, if he were to be traded, this would be a great time of the year to get it done, if that's what the Packers have in mind. And I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying the Packers are going to trade him, but I mean, you know, right now, the Packers would rather have a draft pick in this year's draft, you know, if they're going to trade him away, than a draft choice next year. I mean, what would you rather have now? A draft choice right now? Or you want the payoff to be a year from now? Of course, the Packers would rather have a draft choice right now. So the lockout is impacting this, impacting his situation, the Packers' situation. I'm sure even the Packers would kind of like to get this taken care of as well, so they can, you know, just move on, you know, rather than let this situation linger. They don't know what's going to happen, so we will see. I just don't know what's going to happen with Nick Barnett. My inclination is he's going to stick around because he's under contract and the Packers just keep the depth. You know, are they going to have to make some tough choices with who's starting? Yeah, they are. But I mean, that's the nature of the beast. I mean, that's the NFL for you. You know, not everybody's going to be happy all the time. That's what Mike McCarthy's getting paid the big bucks for. He just got a nice big fat contract after this year, after winning the Super Bowl. You know, Nick Barnett, his comments yesterday in his interview, and I think you can go, if you wanted to, listen to a podcasted version of his interview at ESPNMilwaukee.com or ESPNMadison.com. You know, he made it sound like, he said something to the effect that there's a lot of things I would do to stay on this team. And you can read into those comments and say Nick Barnett wants to renegotiate his contract, maybe make it, you know, better for the Packers to keep him. You know, and it sounds like he's confident, if he's just given the chance to compete for a starting job, that he'll win it. He says he's healthy. Of course, He went on injured reserve last season, early in the year, was at week four, I think, and, you know, had something to his wrist, the wrist sheath. You know, I'm not a medical expert. I don't remember exactly what happened there. Something about the scaphoid bone. I'm not sure, but, you know, Nick Barnett says he's healthy, says he's in the best shape of his life. I think every player says that in the offseason, though. Not to say he's lying, but usually every player says that. And so you read into what he says, and I personally, I wonder if he would restructure his contract. And I'm hesitant to believe that just because I think there's somebody out there in the NFL, some team that's going to be willing to pay him the type of money he wants just to honor his current contract. Nick Barnett right now has a very nice contract. Not the highest paid player in the NFL by any means, but he's getting paid starters money. And I'm willing to think that, you know, that there's going to be a team out there that's not going to give up a first-round draft choice for Nick Barnett, but a high- to mid-round draft choice for a guy who can be their starting inside linebacker or middle linebacker. I mean, Nick Barnett could play in both systems. He has experience in both a 4-3 and a 3-4. He could be a middle linebacker in a 4-3 and just one of the two inside linebackers in a 3-4. You know, he's shown he can get it done, so he has value there to all 32 NFL teams, as opposed to some players who just seem to project to be fit into one system as opposed to another. So he's got experience there, so it'd be, you know, a smoother transition than a lot would believe if he were to go to another team. But, so that's why I think there wouldn't be any contract renegotiation. You know, might he renegotiate his contract in the way that A.J. Hawk did, such that, you know, it just... one of those things where you're moving money around, he would basically get paid the same amount of money, but, you know, maybe making it more salary cap friendly. I think that could happen. But as far as taking less money to stick around in Green Bay, I just don't believe it. I don't buy it. And maybe I'm wrong. I could be proved wrong. Wouldn't be the first time. And I suppose we just wait and see. We play the waiting game to find out what happens with this NFL lockout. It is just about 8:30, the bottom of the hour. Going to take a quick break here. Going to get Middle Tennessee State wide receiver Garrett Andrews on the phone. Talk a little bit of NFL draft talk. And talk about why he has filed a lawsuit against the NFL. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. And unfortunately, we could not hook up with Middle Tennessee State wide receiver Garrett Andrews. Not sure what's going on. I tried calling him. I didn't get an answer. But, you know, I know he is aware of, you know, we've scheduled this ahead of time, and I left him our phone number. So hopefully Garrett calls in and we'll get him on the line before the show is over here. So, you know, I'm confident that will happen. In the meantime, while we wait for his call, and maybe we'll try again a little bit later, perhaps, if he doesn't call in. But, we can still talk Green Bay Packers action here. You know, we're a Green Bay Packers show. So, anyhow, you know, just checking out the live blog here. And you know, a lot of the talk right now, I see, you know, Max comments on our live blog. He says, I think the NFL and the NFLPA should be forced to sit in a room and watch baseball to show them what they're subjecting us to. I'd give them till the fifth inning to reach an agreement. That's not fair, Max. Baseball's fantastic. Says, I was in Florida this week and watched the entirety of a Marlins Nationals game. Couldn't have been more than 5,000 people in the stands. It was pitiful. You know, you were watching a Marlins game, though. They have probably the least amount of viewers in the entire Major League Baseball. Not going to be like that in Milwaukee. You know, they get a nice crowd nearly every game. Heck, you know, of course, opening day this week was, you know, 45,000+ people. I mean, I think it's like that a lot of opening days. But, you know, after that, midweek games, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, they got crowds nearing 25,000 people. Not bad for midweek, you know, in April. It's only going to get higher as the season goes along. A lot of Wisconsin sports fans listening to the show, I know we're known for our Packers talk, but you know, is it almost hard to believe that just, you know, what was it, 3 days ago, we were talking about the Brewers being winless, doom and gloom. All the talk that was going on sports talk radio stations throughout the state of Wisconsin, on Twitter, social networking, just the overreaction to a team starting 0-4 to start the season. It was bordering on ridiculous. You know, I've seen the people have mentioned the NFL equivalent, you know, the Brewers being down or, you know, being winless 0-4 this early in the season in a season with 162 games is the equivalent of the Packers being down by like a touchdown in the first 5 minutes of the first quarter. You know, big deal. So the Packers get down 7-0 in the first quarter. Like they've never been down before. What was the stat from the season? The Packers have the entire season were never down by more than 7 points. Was that the statistic? Isn't that amazing? An entire season and they're never down by more than 7 points. Am I getting that right? Can that be correct? That's unbelievable that the Packers were able to do that. Never be down by more than 7 points. Of course, there were, you know, several close losses this past season. You know, losses in which the Packers were, you know, what they lose by last second field goals. They lost in overtime to, I believe, wasn't it the Washington Redskins early in the season? Overtime field goal. I mean, just heart-wrenching close losses. So, that's how impressive this team was. And, I suppose you can look at it and say, this is why they've won the Super Bowl. This is why they, you know, did so well late in the season. Of course, going on a not only a 4-game win streak in the playoffs, but a, you know, 2-game winning streak to end the regular season, must-win games that they need to qualify for the playoffs. So 6 games total at the end of the year. I mean, the Packers showed their true colors at the end. USNavy.com comments, go Braves. Yeah, your Braves just lost 3-4 to the Brewers. Or were you cheering for the Milwaukee Braves? I'm just teasing. John Rahor comments on the live blog, why talk close losses? Can we just talk Dan Connolly for an hour and get really depressed? Dan Connolly. How about that? Should we talk some special teams again? You know, speaking of kickoff returns, not Dan Connolly, the Patriots offensive lineman who returned the NFL record for an offensive lineman against the Packers. The Packers yesterday, it was reported that they're going to have in for a visit Utah wide receiver Shaky Smithson in for a workout, in for a visit. And also Cal's Jeremy Ross. I got a visitor here. I have a studio audience of one. Those of you watching the show live, here's my dog Mia joining me, sitting here at my feet. What are you doing? She's crawling around underneath my legs. My studio audience of one here. So, anyhow, getting back to special teams talk. The Packers going to have Shaky Smithson in for a visit. The Utah return specialist and Jeremy Ross is from Cal. And I was just... It kind of made me glad a little bit to see this because, of course, releasing our NFL draft guide yesterday in Cheesehead TV. In the return specialist section, I had Shaky Smithson listed as the number one return specialist in this year's draft class. And I had Jeremy Ross listed as well. And these are guys who I, you know, my return specialist rankings were guys who are going to be pretty much primarily, that's going to be their only job in the NFL. Not to say that's their only job, but primarily return specialists. You know, there's plenty of good return guys in this year's draft class. Patrick Peterson, going to be one of the top draft choices in the first round, LSU cornerback. The reason I didn't include guys like him is because he does have another primary position, and that's going to be in the defensive backfield as a cornerback. And you know, other guys, Reggie Cobb from the University of Kentucky, Torrey Smith from Maryland, Jeremy Curley from TCU, and I'm sure there's more I'm missing. I'm not going to name every return specialist or guys who have that ability off the top of my head here. But, you know, Shaky Smithson, I think he's a guy who is going to be primarily a return specialist, and he's pretty good. You know, go watch his YouTube highlights. You know, he's pretty special. You know, he averaged something like 18, 19 yards of punt return? That's unbelievable. For a punt return? I mean, there's lots of guys out there who average 5 yards on punt returns. You know, that punt returns are one tough beast, I tell you. They are tough. It's not like a kickoff where you have plenty of time to field a kickoff and space to do so. When you're fielding a punt, there might be guys right on top of you as you are catching it. That's why they allow fair catches on punt returns. Well, they allow them on kick returns too. You just don't see them very often. So, I mean, to average 19 yards a punt return is quite impressive. Quite spectacular. So, to see the Packers looking at a guy like that is, you know, it... Nice to see. Nice to see. And Jeremy Ross from Cal, another guy who's, you know, going to be primarily a kick return specialist. And, you know, Mike McCarthy, I think it was during the NFL owners meetings, did an interview, if I'm correct, with Pete Doherty of the Green Bay Press Gazette. And had said, you know, the Packers are going to look at return specialists. You know, a way they can improve their team. But he wants them to be able to help the team elsewhere. And that's the great thing about Shaky Smithson is that he does have the ability to play offense as probably a slot receiver. You know, a guy who, jitterbug kind of guy. You know, certainly he's not a refined offensive player, but a guy who has some pretty nice raw talent. So it'll be interesting to see how, where Shaky Smithson goes, if he's drafted even, and if he's not, you know, how he'll do in the NFL. I think you'll hear that name again. U.S. Navy Doc comments, with the spot of kickoffs being moved up and the chances of touchbacks increased, is return specialist a high priority? And that's a good question. I may have talked about this before. You know, I you're exactly right. I don't think it is as high a priority, but I still think the Packers need to get one. And here's why. You know, there's all this talk about kick returns being changed, but nothing has changed on punt returns. That's still a need for the Packers, too. I'll tell you what, the Packers don't want Tremont Williams, all things being equal, on punt returns next year. They don't want one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL having to be their punt returner. Tremont Williams did a very nice job catching punts last year. Did a very nice job fielding them. But they don't want him back there exposing him to injury. They want a specialist, a guy who's going to be solid, can catch the ball, but also can be a threat. So that's why I think it is still a need for the Packers. Perhaps maybe not as much of a need as before, but still a need. And it's not like every kickoff is going to be a touchback. There will be plenty of times when, you know, the Packers need a return. And so thus, they're going to need a kick returner as well. And it increases the longer the year goes on, the colder the weather gets in the winter months. You know, you're talking late November, December, if you make the playoffs, January. You know, the ball just doesn't travel as far. So there will be more kickoff returns in that time frame, that part of the year. So, you know, the Packers need a guy like that. And especially if he can contribute elsewhere. You know, whether it's a guy like Shaky Smithson who can, you know, play wide receiver, play the slot. Or, you know, whether it's a defensive back, a corner, I don't know. But Packers can use one. You know, they are not going to spend probably a high draft choice on one. Although, I mean, you know, for all I know, I think wide receiver is a good position as any that the Packers might address early in the draft. You know, you go draft Torrey Smith in the first round. If you're the Packers, which is a possibility, maybe not a likely one, but a possibility. You know, Torrey Smith, I think he can be a very good return specialist, kick returner in the NFL. Be interesting to see how that all plays out. I'm just taking a look here at the comments here on the live blog, keeping up Packers Lounge comments. I saw some stats, wish I could remember them, but it showed that kickoffs may not be affected as much as people thought. I've seen that too, and, you know, God forbid I remember where I saw it also as well, but, you know, the you know, kickoff returns, you know, it's going to be somewhere between 1/4 to 1/3 difference. There will be that many more touchbacks, you know, 25% to 33% more, something like that, in that range there. So I mean, you know, so there's a quarter to a third more touchbacks than there were last year. You know, that's what, one more touchback a game. You know, how many kick returns does a team have a game? 2, 3, 4 on average. The Packers are going to have kickoff returns every game. You know, maybe one less, but they're still going to have, you know, maybe 2 kickoff returns a game, in addition to punt returns as well. So, be interesting to see how this upcoming season, if there is a season, if the NFL and the NFLPA settle their differences, whether on in court or at the mediation table, how this new rule affects NFL teams. Saw somewhere there was a vote or a poll taken, NFL fans saying they would watch replacement players. They would watch college football more often as a result of being an NFL lockout. You know, if it lasts that long. I think it was the Pac-10 has said if there's a lockout, they're going to play football on Sunday, college football. I'm all about that. I am all about that. And not to say I want a lockout. I don't want to see that happen. But if it happened to be, more college football is fine for me. I love college football. So, ESPN, or was it ESPN2, used to televise some Sunday night college football. You know, in the nighttime time frame, prime time, like 8 p.m. Central Time or so. Basically, I mean, you know, the NFL is done for the day, with the exception of the NBC Sunday night football game. So, you know, the ESPN really had nothing else to televise, so why not put a college football game on? Kind of got away from that this past year, though. What I'll do here is we're going to try one more shot here, calling Garrett Andrews. We'll see how this goes. We'll call him right here, live on air. Let him know he'll be live on air. But you know, want to give this one more shot here. So let me punch in the numbers here, and we'll give him a jingle. Give him a call. There we go. You can hear calling him on Skype. You can hear the. The little jingle there. That way I know it's working. And here's the, you can hear it ringing. See if Mr. Andrews picks up.
Hello?
Hello, is this Garrett?
This is Garrett.
Garrett, this is Brian Caribou of Cheesehead TV. You are live on air. So, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing?
Very good. Garrett, we've talked briefly about you already, but we've mentioned you filed a lawsuit against the NFL, and you know, you're kind of an unheralded player. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there saying, you know, you're just a kid looking to get your name out. You're looking for some publicity. You know, how do you respond to that as you file a lawsuit against the NFL?
There's actually more people than I thought there was going to be who actually believe that I'm just a kid looking for, you know, 15 minutes of fame. But as they take a little, you know, in-depth look into the situation and understand what is actually taking place, then they start to understand, you know, my side and what's actually going on. I'm not looking, like I said, to make any money. I'm not looking to make any type of, like I said, 15 minutes of fame. What I'm looking for is for the NFL to be the NFL. I'm hoping that this lockout ends. I'm hoping that the players are allowed to play. And that, again, there's an NFL. That way there could be opportunities for guys like me all over the country.
You said you're more getting more attention than you thought. Are people kind of coming out of the woodwork, and you're getting more attention than you expected to get out of this?
Yeah, it's almost as if I wish I could have done this anonymously. There's more attention than I could have ever imagined. You know, to do a lot of interviews and things like that, and it wasn't necessarily my approach I wanted to take, but, you know, that's what I have to do, and that's what I have to do. I'm just trying to stand up for what I believe in and what I love, and this is what it takes, and, you know, what I'll do any day.
In this, you know, there's another more high-profile lawsuit, you know, with each of the plaintiffs kind of representing a different faction of players, like you know, Tom Brady is representing a player under contract. Peyton Manning is representing a guy playing under the franchise tag. Ben Lieber is representing the free agents. And there's another rookie, Von Miller, representing the incoming rookie class. And now I'm guessing you think there's a difference between Von Miller and yourself. I mean, could you explain to me what that difference is?
Absolutely. Von Miller, he had an outstanding season, you know, and he is very, very highly watched right now and, you know, supposed to be a top five pick and, you know, is supposed to be a great success in the NFL this upcoming season. Players like myself are, you know, we didn't get to have the opportunity we wanted to take, you know, many players, you know, we're capable of, and, you know, we are looking to get into camps by free agency, if not late draft, just to see what we have and what we can bring to the table. We'll never know unless, you know, we get the opportunity that we've been waiting for since we were kids. And I'm fighting for every less woke that is in the group this year that won't get their opportunity to shine and live the life they've been waiting for, whether me or any player in the country. So there's absolutely a difference between, you know, a supposed top five draft pick and myself.
It kind of sounds like you're kind of the guy who admits you're going to be an undrafted free agent. But under the lockout, teams are prevented from signing undrafted free agents this year like they normally do in any other year. How is that going to affect you as soon as the draft is over?
Well, this year I'm one of about 350 maybe receivers going into the draft alone. Knowing that there's a good chance I'd be undrafted in the free agents, that leaves me to compete with one of 350 receivers. Knowing that, I go into, you know, this year looking at it as one of 350. If there's no NFL this year, that leaves me to compete with the receivers in next year as well, and that could be anywhere from, you know, one of 700 receivers alone trying to make a name for himself in one position.
Gotcha. Now, you filed your own lawsuit against the NFL. Is there a chance you're going to be named to this other high-profile one, including Tom Brady? Are you going to be lumped in with that?
I would not be surprised if we joined together and made, you know, the one big lawsuit. It would not shock me. I honestly believe that it could easily join to make one really, really big case rather than, you know, they're a real big one in this one as well. But, you know, that's up to the courts, I guess, so we have to wait and see on that one.
I got you. We're talking with Garrett Andrews, wide receiver from Middle Tennessee State University. And enough with the legal battles. Let's talk some football here, Garrett. You recently had your pro day workout on campus at MTSU. How did that go? How'd that go over?
Well, pro day was such an experience. I mean, I didn't know what to expect necessarily. And then when it did happen, I mean, being first on every drill for the scouts, it was kind of, you know, it was nerve-wracking. It was very, you know, tough to see and to deal with. I mean, it was definitely a different experience, but, you know, it was one that I was really happy that I got to have. And, you know, hopefully it panned over just well enough that, you know, I would be getting some invites, if not late drafted, and be able to go to the NFL this year.
We're based out of Wisconsin, and I think our viewers and listeners want to know, were the Packers at your pro day, the Green Bay Packers?
I believe they were. I wish that I could be more specific on that, but I know that if not, they were watching and looking at the numbers from a distance because I knew there was some attention. They've been there a few times throughout the season. I know that they've been there probably, I can't really necessarily jump too many numbers, but I know they've been there quite a few times. So I believe that they were. Like I said, I wish I could be more specific. I mean, I can't even tell you the days that they came to practices and stuff, but, you know, I believe that they were there. I pay attention as much as I can.
I understand. I mean, there was probably many teams represented, and you can't remember every one. But if I'm correct, a former Middle Tennessee State football player who's now with the Packers was there, outside linebacker Eric Walden. Am I correct in that assumption?
Oh, absolutely. Not only was he there for Pro Day, but he was there to a few weeks building up to the Pro Day, and you know, just getting to talk to him about the whole situation. And, you know, he really helped me and some of the other players know how to approach pro day and how to talk to, you know, these scouts and all that. And it was really cool not only to get to talk to him, but to get to actually train with him for a little while, understanding that he's took that step and made it to the next level. It was really something else. It was a great experience for me.
Very nice. Middle Tennessee State has had some success the past few years playing in bowl games. I remember watching you play in the New Orleans Bowl in 2009 and MTSU defeating Southern Miss. How did you perform that particular game?
The bowl game, you know, that game, actually, I believe I was leading receiver on the team at the time, and I ended up being a leader the entire season. But that game, you know, I got my number called 5 or 6 times. I was able to catch everything that was coming my way, and it really helped. I remember we were down 14-0, and, you know, Dwight found me in the end zone for the first spark, and after that, we hit the ground running, and we never looked back, and it led to, you know, a game that we walked away with a victory with, and the ball ring feels super nice on the fingers, I'll tell you that much.
Very nice. I just bring that up because it was televised by national television, ESPN, I believe, and so I think a lot of people got to see you that game. The guy who threw you the ball, quarterback Dwight Dasher, now he's an NFL prospect too, but there's kind of a lot of people out there saying that he might have to change positions. What do you think? Is Dwight Dasher a quarterback or is he a running back?
Dwight Dasher is an athlete. Plain and simple, I know that you know, he may get some interest at running back, and he may get some interest at quarterback. I wouldn't be surprised if he got interest at linebacker, for all I know. They know that he's an athlete and he can play the game of football, so he's just kind of waiting around to see, you know, where he gets his number called and what he's going to do with it.
Garrett, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. Good luck to you, not only in court, but good luck in trying to find a job in the NFL.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the time, and to all Packers fans, thank you very much.
No problem. And if the Packers happen to draft you, sign you, we'd love to talk to you again.
All right. I'd love the opportunity. Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care. Once again, Garrett Andrews, Middle Tennessee State University wide receiver. Very interesting talking to him, getting his perspective, suing the NFL, fighting for the type of the undrafted free agent who are being prevented from signing with NFL teams during this lockout if things stay the way they are. So we will see if that happens to change. But we're out of time here, folks. It's past 9 a.m. here at Lambeau time. And we're going to take off. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a great Friday. Plenty of great sports action today. Go watch the Masters. Their colors are green and gold. A lot of green and gold on television today. Go watch the Masters, Milwaukee Brewers this evening. See you, everyone. Have a good weekend. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you later.